Hello, ladies.
And some gentlemen, too.
How are you? It's Lane, and here we are, another fantastic conversation surrounding ourselves with Yoga Nidra and finding ways to connect to our higher self and connect with the world. And today I have another Nidra guide, Susan Proper from Orlando, Florida. And you know, the cool thing is that I found her through Instagram, and you know my relationship with Instagram. If you've been listening to this show long enough, you know I have this love-hate relationship with it. But there's something about the Yoga Nidra teachers or guides that I just feel so connected to. All of us are just like, it's so delightful. So we're going to be in for a little bit of a ride today. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes. So we're going to jump right in, and I want you to share, I always have my guests share a little bit about their journey to Yoga Nidra, because I feel like this is a practice that meets you where you're at. Mm-hmm. There is no right, you know, place to start. You can start whenever. So let's hear like how you found the practice.
Okay. Well, I actually had never in my whole life heard of Yoga Nidra before until I did my teacher training. And during my teacher training, we were exposed to, of course, Hatha Yoga, Vinyasa Yoga, Yin Yoga, which I fell in love with madly and teach now. I just love it. And we were also exposed to Yoga Nidra.
So let's back up for 1 second. Susan, what were you doing before you even fell into the 200-hour teacher training?
I was a corporate dropout.
Okay. So I love these kinds of stories because we can find this practice anytime.
Right? Sure.
It's so important. Like, this is a practice for everyone.
Okay. Yeah.
So you found your way to the mat. Yay.
I did. I found my way to the mat, and the mat saved my life, sanity, saved my soul. My God.
Yes. I have that same story. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure many of us do. Mm-hmm. So I fell in love with Yoga Nidra, and I did a class project during my teacher training on Yoga Nidra. And I fell even more in love with Yoga Nidra when I did the research and actually did a brief, I think about a 30-minute Yoga Nidra presentation or practice for the class. And after the class, everybody came up to me and said, "Oh my God, your voice. Oh my God, your voice." And I thought, maybe there's something to this. And I just really said, I'm going to look more into this and find out more about it. And shortly after I got certified, I went to a Yoga Nidra certification program and got 40 more hours of training specifically in Yoga Nidra.
Yes.
And it was fantastic. I just, you know, I was enamored.
It's so deep.
Yeah.
It's so deep, right?
Yeah.
This is not a practice that you just learn overnight.
No, there's so much to it.
There's so much to it. And people, it's so interesting because, I've said on this show before, it's like, we are dealing with the psychic body, the mental body, the spiritual body, the physical body. Did I miss one? The emotional body. we're dealing with all these different bodies, right? And so it's imperative to have a guide who knows what they're doing.
That's right.
We are dropping into a place of such, oh my God, of consciousness, right? Of like, we're going somewhere else.
Yes, you are. And you're taking people to a very tender place sometimes.
Yes. That's a great way to place it.
Yes. And you may find unexpected responses from them, and you have to know how to handle that. And having those additional hours of training can help you learn how to respond. And even, you know, okay, I have an additional 40 hours of training. I feel like I could use an additional 40 more hours of training, and even beyond that. You know, I teach it, but still there are times where you know that somebody may be experiencing something during that nidra that is bringing up emotion or feelings that are beyond just somebody who is enjoying that dream and that twilight space.
That twilight space.
Yeah.
The magic space.
Yeah, it is a magic space, truly.
It really is.
For a lot of people, it is, yes. Yeah, but for some people, it can bring up emotion that maybe unsettles them.
Okay, let's talk about that for a minute, Susan, because I have, you know, students that are like, oh my God, I love this. This is the greatest thing. And then the next practice are like, what the heck happened? Oh my God, my life just fell apart. Right? Because of this tender place that we take them for the body to, what does it do for what does it do?
Well, I mean, of course, it goes into your nervous system, right? And then suddenly everything that you have held trapped inside of you, that you have repressed and you have kept in that little cage that we all have, right? That you have held boxed in there just sort of starts to leak out. And, you know, these memories or these emotions or these feelings, they wiggle their way out, and sometimes they're not good. And it could be traumatizing. And that's the sort of thing that if you as a teacher are not prepared for, or even as you as the practitioner, the student of Yoga Nidra, if you are not prepared for that, then you could be the one laying there saying, oh my God, what do I do with this? How do I handle this? You could be in tears.
I love that. Richard Rohr talks about the body keeping all the memories of this generation, the last generation, the past generations, and those memories are, you know, trapped in the body, and the body then has to do something with them, and then the body has pain, or it has something that's going on with it, right? And so I like that you just said how the Yoga Nidra kind of addresses that.
It absolutely does. Well, that's why your blood pressure lowers, your muscles relax, your breathing lowers. Everything happens wonderfully for the body, but sometimes those itty bitty shitty things happen in the brain. And you know, that gets released and you're like, oh God, I don't want to think about that, or I don't want to feel that. And sometimes that happens.
And so what do you do with a student or a client that has that happen?
Well, it depends. I mean, if somebody is weeping horribly and, you know, sometimes I may go over to them and simply it's a touch, you know, the shoulder, you know, to see if they're okay. And if they work their way through it in a moment or two, then that's okay. Sometimes they need to get up and just leave the room. It really depends upon the situation.
I know. That's why it's so great to have a guide who has the empathy, has the capacity to hold the entire room. And I think the way that we get this, or at least that I've been able to do this, is to go through different trainings and to, and to train with different teachers. And then to have my own practice.
I think you learn a lot through having your own practice. And I think you bring up a really good point in that it is good to train with different teachers. And not just always the same teacher.
And I think that goes for my own daily practice. Right? Like when I first started, I was like hooked on one teacher. And I just went back to that one teacher. Because that one experience, and over time, like I have several different practices that I listen to, several different teachers, because I feel like each guide brings their own medicine, their own unique activation is what I call it. And you can't just have that awakening with just one person.
And some people focus more on, like, let's just say some people focus more on the you know, how do you handle the koshas, or, mm-hmm. you know, everybody has their own thing that they like to teach, right? And so you'll get more of one thing from a teacher than you would from another. And so I think switching off on teachers is a great idea.
What do you focus on?
Sorry, my computer just made a noise.
That's okay.
I focus on the self, the true self, more than the koshas or anything else. Really getting into that true self and using your sankalpa to find that.
Yeah. And again, I'm just going to mention, if you're new to the show, you can go back and listen to my episode with Tanis Fishman, because we talk about the creation of sankalpa. It's such an important part of the practice.
Yes.
Of really creating that. And when we're dealing with the self, right? We're trying to, it's a step away. I feel like that's what I want my students to step away from the self and get connected to the divine.
Ah, okay.
What are you asking your students to do during that?
I think I'm envisioning them asking themselves how to be their best selves, and to be their authentic selves, to be vulnerable to whatever that might be, to be open and honest and authentic.
Right. So that brings up a really good point, because I have so many students say, my sankalpa just changed. It was this week, and now it's this.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Right.
Wait a minute.
My changes too.
Yeah. Is that not good? And I'm like, well, it's just where you're at today.
That's right.
Right. Like, that's the vulnerable, authentic message today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how do you share that with your students? Because, you know, some of us are very, single-minded, focused. We want to do it right. Perfectionist, type A. And I feel like a lot of people find we're recovering type A perfectionists land on the mat to this practice.
Me. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. How do you really get to them, like, to surrender? How do you, you know, just say, okay, just lean into that. How do you get them there, Susan? That's what I'm asking.
Well, I think usually that is, in Nidra anyway, that happens when you bring somebody to their sanctuary, to that place where they envision or imagine themselves well, whole, and they're most happy.
Mm-hmm.
And they can just be free to be themselves. And that too can vary from Nidra to Nidra.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the same, but sometimes you may find yourself adding more details to it and bringing in other characters to it. Just a little bit about my inner sanctuary. Typically is a beach scene. I just love the beach.
Yeah.
But when I go there, sometimes I'll add different things to it. I always have my dog with me.
Nice.
But
I love it.
But I always see different things to it. And I think the more you can envision and the more you can be real about it, then the more it means to you. And I think if you bring meaning to it, that's what makes it authentic and real. And I think then it all becomes more meaningful. Right. Now, to kind of bring that around to your question, when you go to your inner sanctuary, whatever it may be, it should be peaceful, it should be enjoyable, and sometimes that can bring you to real emotion, true emotion, to an emotion that hopefully is so peaceful and happy that can sometimes bring positive tears to your eyes because it's so joyful and so happy. I'm not talking about the traumatic type of thing that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of emotion is the release that a type A personality like me,
and like me,
needs to find when you're in your inner sanctuary. You need to find that, okay, I'm here, mm-hmm. I'm totally relaxed, and this is my place where I'm free to be me. I've got my whatever, and that's where you just become maybe temporarily for 2 or 3 minutes a type B. just let that go.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to find yourself there. It's like giving yourself permission.
And I think that's the only place that can happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Allowing yourself permission to just lie down, to go to that inner sanctuary.
Yeah.
Saying, okay, I'm going to do this.
Yes.
And just committing to it. Mm-hmm. What lineage are you? What lineage do you share?
My Nidra is through Kripwa.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So again, all of the different practices all bring us to that same place. Mm-hmm. I find that each of the lineages may do it a little bit differently, but our intention is the same. Yes. And that intention is to really to connect us to that other dimension, mm-hmm. to heal the body, to completely transform us. And so I would love to hear if this practice, you know, how has it transformed you?
Well, again, being a corporate dropout, I was working a job that I thought was my life, thought it was who I was, and was predominantly working between 50 and 70 hours a week.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And when I moved to Florida and then the mat saved my life, I was actually at a point in my life where I was clinically depressed, to be truthful with you.
Yeah.
Because I had lost myself. I didn't know who I was anymore. I left this job, was not retirement age, and suddenly had nothing to focus on, nothing to really do anymore, and wandered into a yoga studio, found my energy, found their energy, and got kind of saved, really, in a way. Yeah. And then found Yoga Nidra. And Yoga Nidra helped me so much with the stress that I was holding in my body. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I had so much emotional shit and baggage going on throughout my body. Of course I had depression, but depression brings with it so many other things. I had developed, not an eating disorder, but I was eating too much. I was sleeping too much. I had developed like an itching problem. I just had all these, I was just like so stressed. I was itching and was like, I was really a mess. I was just a hot mess. And when I would lay down and listen to Yoga Nidra, I listen to Insight Timer, by the way, I follow you. And it was just so helpful for me. I go to bed with my earbuds on, mm-hmm. I listen to Yoga Nidra, mm-hmm. and oh my God, it was a godsend. It just made such a huge difference in my life. I cannot explain it.
Do you remember the first practice that you did?
Well, the first practice I did was in teacher training. Oh, you mean that I personally did?
The first practice that you laid your body down. So well, that was at the teacher training. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was at my teacher training. And then,
I know, right? And then do you find that there's a difference between in-person and solo practice?
Yes, I do.
Do you have a preference?
No, I don't. No. I really don't. I enjoy them both, but I do find that there is a difference. Yeah. I just think in the having the voice nearby and the that human connection, and even the ability to have somebody come up to me at some point and maybe lean near me or mm-hmm. speak closely in my mm-hmm. ear if I need that. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that human proximity.
Yeah.
But I enjoy either one, truly.
Right. Right. In the group, right, there's that group coherence that happens, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I feel that magic.
Yes.
Compared to when I'm in my solo practice. But my solo practice, I can truly reach like almost orgasmic states.
Wow.
And I've never been able to do that in a class. Mm-hmm. So I like both of them.
Yes.
But for different reasons, right? Like I love this practice, right? Like yeah, I wouldn't be yeah. doing this if I didn't.
Right. Exactly.
And then do you remember the first time that you guided a class?
Yes, I sure do. Mm-hmm.
And did you have the Nidra experience move through you?
That I had the Nidra experience move through me, but I definitely had an energy go through my body that was mm-hmm, mm-hmm. different than just teaching yoga.
Right.
It was definitely something unique.
Yeah.
And I still actually have it to this day.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Right.
It's just because you speak differently mm-hmm. and you speak differently. Your intonation is different. Mm-hmm. You pause. It's like a mother speaking to a child. Yeah. It's so different. It's loving. It's kind. It's just so different.
Yeah, it is different. It's so interesting that you say that, 'cause I recognize that as well.
Yeah.
And I also recognize when someone's reading a script.
Oh.
So I've recently, I went into a class and the teacher read a script and I couldn't drop in at all.
Oh, okay.
I was just like, what's happening here? Like, and I kept waiting. I kept waiting.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah. I've been to classes like that too, where somebody reads a script, like a beginner, where they read a script, and it is a little bit different, but you know, everybody's got to start.
Everyone's got to start. I totally get it. I mean, I started reading scripts too. God bless those people that were my first students. Everyone does it. My teacher read scripts, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But there's just such a difference.
True.
Okay. So I want to talk about this combination of yin and nidra. Mm-hmm. Because I find I do subtle yoga into nidra.
Okay.
Which is another restorative movement yoga.
All right.
And I also do breath work with nidra. And I find that there's magic that happens when you mix the practice. I mean, it's just such a great practice by itself. But when you add yin to it, do you find that people are able to go deeper because they've moved the body? Tell me a little bit about that experience. Share that with our listeners.
Sure. Well, I do a biweekly, it's called like a mini retreat thing called The Gift of Stillness. It's online, it's free. And what it is I start off with my topic or for the session. Typically it's something like, this week I did one and it was about anger and frustration, not something that you necessarily think about for a yin class, but we talked about how to handle anger and frustration via using essential oils, crystals, and then we did a yin sequence that would help you with frustration and anger, focusing on the liver meridians.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then followed that with a abbreviated nitra.
How long, when you say abbreviated, how long is that for you?
About 20 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Versus like about 45 minutes.
Yep. Got it.
Yeah. So what I will typically find is that after a yin class, because yin, you know, you're holding the poses anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. People are a little bit, there's two things that happen after a yin class. People are already relaxed, mm-hmm. or people are like, I can't stand this anymore. Get me out of these poses. Right? Because yin can create tension for some people if they're not used to practicing yin, you know, mm-hmm. being in a pose for 5 minutes. It's like, mm-hmm. oh my mm-hmm. God, get me out of this. Right? So those are the two reactions that will happen. Hopefully by the end of the practice, they're feeling a little bit more calm. And then we do a brief, you know, maybe a 2 or 3 minute shavasana, and then we will work our way into the nidra. So usually the easing into the nidra is a sweet and pleasant thing, usually. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then sometimes what I'll do for my sessions is just do a nidra. Yeah. I will just, plain and simple, I'll start off with my topic. I'll talk about some oils, maybe some crystals, and then we'll just do a nidra, 45-minute nidra.
So. Okay, so let's just wait a minute. Okay, Susan, so you're a corporate dropout, and now you're talking crystals and oils.
Yeah, I know. I'm crazy.
Okay. Wait a minute. When did you drop out of the corporate world?
Let's see. 6 years ago.
Okay, I love this transition so much.
I know. Some of my friends are like, who are you and what have you done with Susan?
Oh my God. Okay, so ladies, right? You can start anytime. You can start a practice. You can pick up a crystal. You can start looking at essential oils. Mm-hmm. You can start doing a yin class. All of these things just get us more connected to ourselves.
That's right.
That's what I'm hearing from you, Susan, is that
Absolutely. You
just started to go inward.
That's exactly what I did, because I realized after I left the corporate world, I realized that was never me to begin with.
Oh.
That was never me.
Right. Right. So we're just remembering who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to get back to our true self.
That's right.
Right.
See, and that's my focus in nidra, my true self.
Yeah.
There you go.
So playing with crystals, what's your favorite crystal?
My favorite crystal is probably rhodochrosite.
Oh yeah. Do you bring the rocks? I call them rocks. Do you bring the rocks into your nidra?
Oh, you know, I have never done that.
Yeah. So I have a nidra about diamonds.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. It's because I bring the elements into my nidras, because I'm so into the elements and just the earth. And I mean, I'm in love with this earth, and I feel like we're in trouble right now. So anything that I can do to bring awareness. And
I have to listen to that nidra about diamonds. Oh my God. Wow.
So that's a good idea, right? You can like put your little rocks into the nidras in your class.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I have to listen to that. That'd be fabulous.
Yeah. It's on the app.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not on Insight Timer. It's on Coming Home.
So. Okay. I'll find it.
Yeah. Okay. So you're doing the yin, you're 6 years out of corporate, on a scale of 1 to 10,
mm-hmm.
10 being, I freaking love my life. And you know, 0 is like you're back at the corporate world. Where are you today?
10.
Right. Isn't that magical?
Oh my God. It's awesome.
And can you pinpoint it and say it's because of nidra, or?
I have to say it's because of yoga.
Because of
yoga. Because yoga introduced me to nidra.
Yes. And, yes.
You know.
Yes. Yeah. I feel the same way. Without my mat, I wouldn't have found the practice. Yeah. So So I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Susan, where's everyone going to find you? Because I know they're going to want to follow up and find out more about your rocks.
Well, my website is susanproperyoga.com.
Okay.
And I'm on Facebook and Instagram and everywhere else that I'm supposed to be.
Awesome. So yeah. Good. On Instagram, are you at Susan Proper as well?
Yes, susanproperyoga.com. Oh, no, Susan Proper Yoga.
Yeah. Susan Proper Yoga. Okay, so yeah. On Instagram, because I know a lot of people hang out on Instagram.
That's right. It's the place to be.
It is. Susan, thank you so much for being on the show with me and sharing your love for this practice.
You are so welcome.
Just your light with the world and changing people at the cellular level. Thank you so much.
I'm so happy that I've been here, and I thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you. Well, ladies, that's another fantastic episode. May you find something bright, something light, and something so delicious that you may be your best self today. Take good care. Until next time. Thanks for listening. Make sure you grab that free app over at lanekennedy.com/newfriend and start the quiet meditation. Okay.